and pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, let my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
When looking at the words personal evangelism, well, that describes what we as Christians are to do. We're to have personal evangelism, and we are to do personal evangelism. Personal evangelism, if I could say this, is personal. It's what you and I do as saved people. We go out and we tell others about Jesus Christ, how that he came into the world, how that he lived a sinless, perfect life, how that he was crucified, buried, and resurrected. Now, if you ask many people about Jesus Christ, they will know the words, how that, we celebrate Easter, about his resurrection. But wait a minute. It's gotten to a point now where the Easter Bunny is celebrated more than the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, why is that? It's because mankind has perverted everything that God stands for. Now, not every man and woman has perverted the Word of God, but man in general has perverted what God has placed here to give us in order for us to go to heaven. Jesus Christ came into the world to seek and to save those who were lost, and you've heard me say that many times. But at the same time, man has perverted that in, we see holidays such as Christmas, where the presents become more important than the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Easter Bunny has become more important than the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross of Calvary, and the blood of Christ is what cleanses us from all sin. We know this by studying the Scriptures. So we need to get that word out that Christmas is about the birth of Jesus Christ. It's not only getting presents, it's not only celebrating Santa Claus, which there is no such person or thing as Santa Claus. That is another trick of the devil to get people's minds and their actions away from the Lord. Christmas is about the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Easter is about the resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So we should not sugarcoat those two holidays that we call holidays, Christmas and Easter. As Christians, we need to stand up for Christ, and we need to let people know that Jesus saves. Well, personal evangelism. You and I, as saved people, we are to go out and we are to personally witness for the Lord. Now, it's one thing to be in a church service where the pastor or an evangelist or a speaker within that local church gets up and proclaims Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. That's one thing. And sometimes we get the idea, well, that's all there is to it. I don't have to do anything else. I pay money into the church. I give tithe. I give offerings. And I support missionaries. And so, therefore, that relieves me of my responsibility. Well, we all have a responsibility in personal evangelism. We are to work for the Lord, not to get saved, but because we are saved. Personal evangelism is just that. It's personal. I cannot witness to somebody for you. You cannot witness to somebody for me. We witness as witnesses on our own personally. We are witnessing the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus saves. Well, now let me ask you a question. I'm sure that you've heard this saying, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Well, we know that by studying the Word of God, and if you studied the Word of God any time at all, I mean, this is very basic, we know that God created all things in 6 days. And when we look at that, we realize that the chicken was created before the egg. But now we get back to our study in the subject of personal evangelism, and we look in Luke chapter 8, and we see the seed and the sower. Well, let me ask you a question. What do you think came first, the seed or the sower? It's for sure that you and I, as children of God, we are sowers. We go out and we sow the word. And but which came first, the sower or the seed? Well, I don't think I have to tell you that the seed actually came first. Well, there is no doubt in my mind that the seed came first, because in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, it tells us, it says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light." I'd like for you to notice in the first part of chapter 1 of Genesis, in verse 1, it says, "In the beginning." And then in verse 3, it says, "And God said." Well, God said. Now, God spoke the worlds into existence, but it was His Word that did it. His Word will never depart. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven." And might I say that the Word of God will never let us down. The Word of God will never fail us. God will never fail us. And this is the reason we can go out with all confidence, knowing that as we go forth as sowers of the seed, that seed will accomplish what God wants it to accomplish. Now, He wants everybody to be saved. And when I say it'll accomplish what He wants it, what He wants to, it to be accomplished, it will not return void. I firmly believe that just as you go in and you hand someone a tract, it doesn't happen like this all the time, but you hand someone a tract and maybe they'll throw it away. But I've heard of this happening before, how that someone who has found a tract that someone has thrown away, and the Word of God speaks to their heart, and they get saved. This happens, has happened on more than one occasion. But as we look at that, we realize that the Word of God will not return void. That means that God's Word will always stand, that it's not going to be replaced. And when we think of this, as we go out and we sow the seed, we must keep in mind that it's God who does the saving. We don't save anyone. It's by and through the Lord Jesus Christ that people are saved. And I'm a firm believer in believing that many times people will get discouraged as the children of God, as they go out and they witness for the Lord. They get discouraged because they may not see as many people saved as they would like to see saved. Well, I want to see everybody saved, but I can't get discouraged because everybody doesn't get saved. I need to realize that it's God who does the saving. It's me who gives out the Word of God. I'm the one who gives the Word out. And it's up to the individual to receive or to reject Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Don't get discouraged as you go out and you witness for the Lord. Now, personal evangelism, once again, is personal. I can't witness for you. You cannot witness for me. I must do it personally. And you, as a safe person, you need to be doing it personally. Personal evangelism is personal. We do it not to be saved, but to please our Lord, because He's given us what we need in order to be able to sow the Word of God. Remember, God's Word is never going to pass away. It's always going to be around. And all He asks of us to do is to give out His Word. Now, there's some things that I'd like for us to consider as we look further into personal evangelism. I'd like for us to just think about some questions. A couple of questions you might want to consider concerning personal evangelism are as follows. Notice this. You may be asking, have I shared with anyone how to be saved according to the Bible? Ask yourself that. Have you done that? How many times have I, and this is you now, and it's me, how many times have I been able to share God's plan of salvation with a person who was in need of God's grace and forgiveness? Did I frequently confess Christ as my Savior before the unsaved? Those are things that we need to be asking ourselves. This is personal. Another question might be this: have I often prayed for opportunities to share Christ and His gospel with others? Well, as we study the gospel of Luke, we learn of the Son of Man who came to seek and to save that which was lost. And Luke 19:10 tells us about this. It says that the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. Well, this compassionate Savior is the very one who now indwells every blood-bought believer, so that we can joyfully say, Christ liveth in me. Galatians 2:20 says that. The Christ who lives in me is still the one who seeks and saves the lost. And He's not going to change. The Bible says that he's the same today, now, and forever. And He's the same in the past. May we allow the Lord full freedom to seek and reach the lost ones in and through our lives. The New Testament epistles have much to teach us regarding personal evangelism and our responsibilities with respect to those who are outside of Christ. May we reach out to them with Christ's love and with God's gospel in the power of the blessed Holy Spirit. May we carefully and prayerfully consider these passages, desiring that God would take His word and make it a reality in our lives as we walk in joyful and faithful obedience to what our God has said. Let me remind you that God does not ask of you more than you can do. He will not give you something to do that is impossible to do. Now, we may think sometimes that the things that He would want us to do are impossible, but remember, there's nothing impossible with the Lord. The Lord is God, and He gives us what we need in order to get the job done that He has given us to do. It's a job and a personal evangelism, and it is a privilege to be able to go out and represent God. Did you ever think of it that way? You are representing God, the Creator of all things. What a privilege it is for us to be able to go out and say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How can we say that? First of all, it's in the Bible. Secondly, it's because we've trusted Him as our Lord and Savior. And we can tell people about this. Our lives need to radiate Jesus Christ. Our lives need to point to the cross. Our lives need to be lives that are outstanding for the gospel. Outstanding means that we're outgoing, telling others about Jesus Christ. We outgo, we go out, and we tell others about the saving power of God, how that He came into this world. He was born of a virgin, and He gave His life on the cross of Calvary. He shed His blood that everyone in this world could be saved if they would only trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. Maybe I'm speaking to someone right now. Maybe you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Well, it's good news. You can know Him today. You can know Christ as your Savior. And if you were to leave this world right now, step out into eternity without Jesus Christ, you would not go to heaven. But if you will ask Him to come into your heart right now, Lord, forgive me. I know I can't save myself. Lord, I'm depending on You. I believe You died on the cross. I believe that You will forgive me of my sin when I say, Lord, come into my heart. I receive You as my Lord and Savior. If you'll ask Jesus to save you today, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you've never trusted Him, you need to call upon Him right now. Ask His forgiveness and ask Him to come into your heart, and then thank Him for saving your soul.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.